The moment you've all been waiting for. You what?
Well, that hit the spot.
Welcome to our annual end of year Gosscast episode where we're chatting through the biggest stories of 2025 that of course all appeared on goss.ie. Myself and Kendra Becker will be chatting through the downfall of Tata Life, everything from Lily Allen's breakup to all the big juicy stories of this year's Love Island seasons and so much more. Right, so Kendra, before we kick off the year, how was your year?
It was good, yeah.
Before we kick off the end of the year, yeah.
It was a good year. I feel like a lot happened in terms of like even the showbiz world and everything.
I know.
Loads of different things happened. Like even when we were looking back doing the notes for the podcast, I was like, oh my God, was that this year? It's so crazy the amount of things that happened. But yeah, it was very eventful.
It's been a busy year as a goss editor.
How was your year?
It's also been eventful. It's definitely been one of our busiest years, I would say.
Yeah.
We obviously launched our first ever Goss.ie Beauty Awards, which took place very recently. They were brilliant. They were so much fun. It's the first time me and you, I think, since maybe 2017 have actually stayed out.
Yeah, afterwards. And enjoyed it.
Yeah, yeah. It's because it was a little less stressful than the Gossies. Morning, me and Kendra are like, have chicken nuggets. We're like in bed with a bottle of Prosecco being like, I'm not going out. But that was a really good one. What else did we do? I feel like we did so much this year. It's just kind of gone in the blink of an eye.
A lot of more events, I think we did.
And then next year we have more events. And obviously we're planning the Gossies 2026 at the moment, which is so exciting as well. So yeah, big year ahead. And I feel like we've had a big year. But yeah, an amazing one for entertainment. And show business, journalism in general. So many highs, so many lows. Really, really sad stories this year, but also a lot of people finally being sentenced to prison.
There's a lot of court cases.
Justin Baldoni and Blake Lively. I hope to never hear the names ever again. That's still going. All the Prince Andrew stuff. We'll get into all this, but I wanted to start off with probably my favorite story of the year and favorite story of a lot of people, I think, is the takedown of Tata Life. Me and you have never actually said the phrase Tata Life, I don't think,
we've been chatting on the podcast. Yeah.
But for the last couple of years, especially podcasts I've been on myself as well, the topic has come up of Tata Life because I did have a number of threads on there. And it's something I ignored for years because I was on it. God, how long ago was that? 2019 or something when I first saw it.
Yeah.
I did see it at one point and I read what was written and it upset me so much and caused me so much harm that I was like, I'm not going to read this anymore. But I've been aware of it for years and there's been such crazy rumors on it. And Aoife Grace Moore, who wrote the exclusive that we ran first before anyone else, I love that Sebastian Bond had been unveiled. Me and her like both had really similar rumors about each other on Tattles. We used to talk about it a lot, just being like, why are people obsessed with making up all these crazy lies? And that was always my big problem with Tata Life. It's not really the discussion of people in the public eye, because obviously, look, we're doing a podcast today talking about people in the public eye. But it's the lies and the defamatory comments that went on, people accusing people of having affairs or using drugs or just being really horrible to work with. Or, you know, we've heard of stories of people being reported to Tulsa and everything because they're just celebrities that have kids on the internet. Like, there's just so much crazy stuff that happened. But for years, like Tata's been going for a long time, for years, I have had people in the background telling me that they had private investigators trying to figure out who owned Tata Life. They had gone to like the breadths of the earth, like to the US. Like I know so many people who had been trying to figure out who it was. And suddenly out of nowhere, we get this tip that this couple, Donna Sands and
Neil Sands,
that they basically were about to have this massive court case that day and they were going to be unveiling the owner, who was Sebastian Bond. And it was such a crazy case because not only were they awarded over 350K in damages, but Justice McLennan, the judge, froze Sebastian's accounts, which is really unheard of. And from a legal perspective, the Mareva order that they gave, which is basically the freezing of international accounts, normally is only used in cases of terrorism. Like it's very serious.
Yeah.
Or like international money laundering. It's very rare that you get in a case like this. So I think really immediately there was just a massive effect of the story, wasn't there?
Yeah. And I think like, because obviously Neil and Donna were so highly praised for even bringing it, because like they had to put a huge amount of their own personal money behind this. And that's kind of why maybe it didn't happen before, because no one actually had the means to maybe actually pursue it.
Yeah.
I know like people were getting private investigators and stuff, but there was only kind of so far you could go.
And even
with
going
it.
To the High Court is around 100 grand.
Yeah.
Just to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, like not everyone has that kind of money, but yeah, it was just, and your man as well, like Sebastian Bond, he was basically
that
operating.
Sounds like such a fake name. It's like such a villain's name.
Yeah, Bond villain, yeah, basically.
A Bond. Sebastian
but he was
Bond.
Like operating under loads of these different fake names, and they were like really random names as well. Like, what was the.
No, sorry, the fact also that he was an OG blogger himself.
Yeah,
a vegan
lifestyle
blogger. I literally rolled my eyes up to the high heavens. And the photo, it was so weird seeing. And can I just say, I always fucking knew it was a man behind that site. Because the main users on it are women. Mm. And there was always a fake woman's name. It was like Fiona MacDougall or something. I can't remember the name. Helen McSomething or other. But I always had this inkling that it wasn't a woman because who really profits off women damaging each other in the long run? It is always going to be men. And over the years, again, I've been involved in a couple of articles as well as investigations and stuff, but the Sunday Business Post had ran a piece maybe 3 years ago saying they'd brought in like $500,000 worth of revenue from Google Ads. So I knew they were making so much money, and to find out that it was a man that was making all this money. And when they froze his assets, like $1 million, that's not even all of his assets. Like, there is more money. He currently is taking out money weekly from his accounts. He just can't access all of it, so money is still being made from it. But it was a cool moment because I feel like myself, for years people weren't mentioning Todd, like we were and talking about it.
Because you didn't want to draw attention to it.
No, and you could literally Google my name and you were brought straight through a thread full of fabricated things, and like, which had like so many people, even connected to my family, had ended up on that site and had to talk to me about it and stuff. It's just, it's so hard to explain how horrible it is when it's made up stuff, because you have people asking you questions about things that you're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, what? There definitely was a rumor at one point that I had a sugar daddy of some sort. Yeah. I'm like,
because
please.
You can't be successful without having a sugar daddy, apparently.
Someone had said it to me in like a joking way, and I was like, ah, but then like another person said it, and then someone I worked with said it, and then I was like, okay, no, this actually isn't funny.
Yeah.
People are actually starting to think this is true.
Yeah.
I was like, just download our accounts on the CRO. Like, you can see I make money. Like, do you know what I mean? I make my own money. But stuff like that seems so silly and don't mean anything, were like being said to me from like family members or people connected to the family. Or I'd be like going on a date and I'd be like, has this person gone on and read that they think I'm having an affair with this person I've met one time? Like, all these crazy things that were there. So I always had such a like sickening feel in my stomach about it. So before this case even come to being, I think I talked about it in last year's podcast, I'd gone into Minister McEntee's, Helen, who was the minister for justice at the time, trying to get my words out, and this thing called a Norwich Farmical Order, which basically is a part of this case as well, which is basically a High Court order to unveil fake accounts online, is always been in the High Court. But I asked Helen to bring it down to the Circuit Court. So instead of being 100 grand, it's like 30 to 50 grand. Still a lot of money. And she did actually bring it down in the latest revision of the Defamation Act. So if there's anyone listening that does want to go with the Norwich Farmical Order, you can do there. But the amazing thing about the Sebastian Bond case, and I talked a lot about this on my own personal channels, is that now that we know who he is, everybody can just sue him straight away.
Yeah.
So it's different to having to go and unveil someone, because if you don't get them, or you get them and they like are on the dole and they don't make a lot of money, you actually won't get any money out of the case. But Sebastian is a multimillionaire, so what we have
which we now know
what we have now is not just this couple that have brought him to, like, everyone knows who he is now. A lot of threads have disappeared, a lot of threads have been deleted. It's much harder to get onto Total Life now, which is a positive thing. But also, aside from that, from what I'm hearing, there are dozens and dozens of cases now growing against him. There's about 4 or 5 documentaries coming out next year that are going to go a little bit more in depth. But my hope that in 2026, Total Life is going to be gone. I don't know how it's going to survive, because his accounts are frozen. There's more to come with Neil and Donna too, right? Their case isn't fully over.
Oh yeah, no, they're still like working on things behind the scenes. But the shocking thing is, though, there is still people on there. A lot of the threads are still active. And like, even when everything came to light, like, there's people joking on there being like, oh, are we going to get arrested and stuff? Yeah. It's just like, oh my God, get a grip.
Yeah. But I think people have gone back on it lately too, because they feel like nothing has happened. But these court cases can take up a year to even get into court. There are multiple cases.
Yeah.
What is going to happen, and what I genuinely believe is going to happen, is that one of the cases, they're going to do the Norwich Farmical Order and reveal some of the people on that thread. And if you're revealed on one thread, you'll be revealed on all of them. And I think a lot of the other threads is all going to start coming through. There is an Instagram account though, Tattlers Unmasked. It's like a private account, but I'm on it, and they are figuring out who all the Tattle people are. It's brilliant.
But that that's the thing, like loads of people know who's on their threads. Like I did that interview with Brian Dowling and Arthur Grunion recently, and they said that they know a lot of people that are on the thread, and like, because I said 100%. That to them. It's usually people that you actually know. And they were like, oh, yeah, no, we know names.
It is. Because a lot of the stuff as well is so, it's so twisted and so fake that someone would have to know you to hate you that much. Like, do you know what I mean? It's such bizarre pieces of information that you're like, that's not true. But then how do they know that, like, that's where I was that time of year? I don't know. There's little things sometimes where you're like, someone has to know. Yeah. You know, I haven't been online in like 6 years. So praise the Lord, never going back on that again. But a lot of people like do still know about theirs and they have to be confronted with it. And the problem with doing the lawsuit, and I got so many DMs about it because obviously I was working in a law firm at the time. Loads of people were asking me, do I have to read the thread to go forward with the case? Like, I don't think people understand how detrimental it is and how upsetting it is. I had so many big people in the industry messaging me being like, I can't read the comments. Like, I can't go back on, but I want to sue them. And the answer, by the way, for anybody asking is yes, you can sue someone without looking through it. But you do need someone kind of with you on the case where you can say, well, I know they said this, this and this, and this isn't true. But I had had legal documents sent to them before and I did have to read through them and it wasn't nice at all. Because my address had ended up there at one point, or a picture of my house and stuff like that had ended up there. And there's people kind of saying where I was walking. Do you remember all that time? Yeah. People were like saying what I was wearing.
That's what happened with Brian and Arthur as well.
Yeah, it was really, really scary. And we sent legal letters and the guards got involved because it was just so serious, all the things that was going on around that time. And Tattle never took it down. So like when the case came out and there, it was Sebastian was like, oh, you know, we've taken things down that are dangerous. They definitely didn't. And that was a really scary time too when I was like, they're not going to take it down. So you just, it's weird. And I'm not even like a well-known person. So like, I feel like the larger people out there with the larger followings, they must be even worse. Even everything happened with Charlene, you know what I mean? Being attacked like that. Like, I just feel like Tattle is kind of brewing that sort of behavior where it's such negativity and just kind of like the state of her. Like, it's one thing to be like, I don't like her dress, to being like, she's toxic and she's a bitch and she's, there's different levels. So I'm hoping that looking back on this year, people are a little bit more wide to it. I do think people are getting a bit brazen again. And I think they are going back on it. But there are more cases to come. Like, I just really hope everyone sues the shit.
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of maybe feel like people feel like it's simmered down a little bit, but it's definitely still ongoing. You know, the cases that are being brought against the site and stuff like that. Yeah. So,
but what needs to happen is new legislation, which is what I keep talking to government about myself, is that one of these cases is going to be the starter. I mean, a lot of legislation that comes into place happens because there's some sort of case. I do think this, one of these cases, maybe it will be Donna and Neil, but probably more in the South, I feel like we'll have a big case and it's going to create, hopefully, the legislation, which is in Australia already, the anti-trolling bill, which is basically where you can't be anonymous online, or if you are defaming someone, your anonymity gets taken away. But aside from all that, you can just sue Sebastian now himself for allowing comments up like that. So yeah, that was a really good case this year. There's so much more to it. Obviously, we can't go through all of it. But what was your favorite part of that reporting on that case, I suppose? Like, it was very interesting. I found the investigators, like the length and breadth that they went to. Literally, I feel like there's going to be some sort of movie just about the investigation.
Yeah, there has to be like a documentary coming about it.
Well, there's like 3 or 4 documentaries. Sorry, one of the aliases that you were asking, it's Bastian Durward.
Yeah.
That sounds like you put into ChatGPT. It was like, make
just
a fake
go
name
with
for
John
me.
Smith.
Yeah, like honestly. Well, but yeah, that was a real landmark case. And I loved talking about it on my own socials too. So if you're trying to figure out what happened, definitely check out my own TikTok too. Because another story that I followed and kind of discussed on my TikTok this year was the GAA catfish case. Oh my God.
Yeah.
We thought we were done. But we were not. So kick off what happened with that this year.
So obviously, the two Johnnies, they released their original podcast back in 2022, which was like a huge thing at the time. Basically about this girl that was catfishing a load of GAA players and stuff. And it was
including
Johnny B.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just like 5 or 6 people. It was like
so many
people. Anyway, we kind of thought that it was finished with. You'd think that like someone making a 2-parter podcast about you catfishing
and
someone would stop you.
And how did part 2 end again? Was part 2 where they realized it was more GAA players? I think part 1 was all about Johnny and stuff. And then part 2 was like, actually, there's all these other people. And some of them were like well-known GAA players, but they didn't want to disclose who it was. And that kind of wrapped it up then. They like left it there. And they called her Nikki.
But
why did they bring out a part 3? Do you remember?
So they basically just discovered, so it wasn't Johnny B in a pub or something.
No, he got a message from a guy who was in a pub.
Yeah.
Being like, is this the girl that catfished you?
And this time her name was Aoife Kennedy.
Yeah.
So basically, long story short, because if we went through every single detail, we'd be here until tomorrow.
The girls at Bulmer's Light, though, remember? That's apparently her drink. Remember the photo was of her with the Bulmer's Light in a pub.
If anyone drinks Bulmer's
she's
Light
in a New Jersey,
So basically, part three came out in January of this year. Just so wild. I can't believe that was back in January.
Oh my God.
But they basically, like, completely out of nowhere released this third part of the GA Catfish story.
So well produced.
Oh my amazing. God.
Yeah.
Like, so brilliant. But basically saying that they had discovered that the same girl was still catfishing people. And this time it was actually a lot darker, as in, like, the...
There was an accusation of sexual assault.
Yeah, there was an accusation of sexual assault.
From a guy she'd never met.
Yeah, really, like, dark stuff. So they had, like, a few accounts on from different people that were catfished by her.
What was so interesting about that podcast, too, is at the start they basically say that when part one and part two came out, they were getting messages from Nikki's mother, in inverted commas, saying that she was, like, suicidal or, like, was really dealing with it badly, and that they'd been approached by, like, Netflix to make a doc. Yeah. And they were like, no, do you know what? We've done what we've set out to do. We're not out to harm her. But when they heard that again she was doing it, they were like, this has to stop. And we thought that kind of at the top of the year that was kind of just the end to it. Just a part three. We can't believe she's back out there.
Yeah.
But little did we know that once again, random time of day, we would get a message saying that someone very important was going to be in court, which was literally her.
Well, no.
Someone who they believe is the catfish. Yes.
Well, I don't know if they've ever actually said that, but so basically it came out that this girl, Niamh Farrell,
a school teacher
in Dublin. She claimed that she was falsely accused of being the GAA catfish.
And the school believed it.
And then they started disciplinary action towards her.
Yeah.
And basically she took them to court then, and they ended up having to cease.
But remember as well, they said on affidavit as well, I'm pretty sure, but they said that she admitted to them,
which she then denied. But she,
because basically what the background to this is that when part three came out, this girl works in an all boys school. They started taking photos of her, videos of her, and putting the rumor online that she in fact was the GAA catfish.
Yeah.
So much kind of stuff was going on around the school that it was brought to the parents' attention, and the parents brought these concerns to the principal and to the school board, saying that our kids are convinced that this is the catfish.
And you have to understand, like, the school was obviously getting calls from multiple parents being like,
mad. You can only imagine. There should be a doc just on that part alone.
Yeah.
But the principal had said that basically in the midst of all this, she admitted that she was the GAA catfish. But when this went to court, she said that never happened. There was no conversation. And this was another really confusing one as well, because when this initially went to court, people were like, she's going to go to jail. She's the catfish. But the case actually wasn't around whether or not she was in fact the GAA catfish.
Yeah.
It was about whether the school followed proper disciplinary actions to get her to, they were basically going to let her go. That was what she felt, and she felt that she was going to lose her job. It's really strange, but it's not strange, but there is a section of law in Ireland called administrative law where any sort of bodies, especially public bodies, how they make decisions basically is very important. And if any steps along the way are skipped, you can sue.
And especially with being a teacher, isn't it, you have to have like multiple warnings beforehand and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, letting go of teachers is so hard, but it's the same. There's like similar rules with like the chartered accountants body, like anyone that basically is above your employment and are a public body. So if what they decide makes you lose your job, because everybody has a right to earn an income, it's part of the constitution that you have a right to have a job.
Yeah.
So it's a very tricky one, which is why like defamation is really big, because if it kind of falls under that section, because obviously if people believe you're a drug dealer and you lose your job, it like hits the two.
Yeah.
But with that case anyway, it was so interesting because everyone was so obsessed with it. There was pictures of Niamh, her mom was giving interviews in the Sunday World saying how it was all not true. And then basically we were told, right, the court date is like next Tuesday. We were all waiting for it with a bated breath, and last minute the school pulled out and basically conceded, and they stopped the disciplinary hearing. The disciplinary proceedings. So they would have had to pay for all of that court time, which was in the High Court, which is very expensive. And then it was left at that. So will we ever know who the real catfish is?
I mean, like, she denied it down to the ground that it wasn't her.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Who knows? You know, what an interesting case, though.
So
and I think
interesting.
It's just so mad that it happened in the same year as part three. But I think part three was so intense. Like you said, there were so many more severe consequences to what they discussed. Yeah. I think people started getting kind of angry, being like, right, is it this girl or who is it? Yeah. But the school, God,
she's obviously still teaching there, is she?
I don't know.
Like whether it was her or not, but like obviously all her students think it's her.
I know.
And would probably be like slagging her and stuff. Yeah. Like, would you not want to move somewhere else?
This is the funny thing, like private sector, like most contracts, I think it's even in our contracts, that, do you know, like if you bring the company into distribute, you can lose your job. But in public sector, it's very hard.
Oh, okay.
Very, very hard to let people go. Especially in a job like teaching, like think of all the like major politicians that have brought the whole country into disrepute, and they're still working.
I mean, Donald Trump is the president again.
So like public jobs are definitely more tricky, and because they have all these boards and their bodies. However, just because that proceedings ended, it doesn't stop them from starting it again. So they could do it again and follow all of the steps. I'd say because they claimed there was an admission, they probably thought, well, we don't have to do step 1, 2, and 3. Let's skip straight to step 5, 6, and 7.
It was very interesting that the two Johnnies never said anything about the case, you know.
True. I know, because a lot of people, I'm sure the school sought witnesses to confirm that that person was indeed the GA catfish, but didn't get to that. But yeah, I suppose they probably want to stay a little bit out of it.
Yeah,
but there has been, I think what I'd love to see in 2026 is some sort of criminal case around it, but it's a hard one because of the situation in terms of what happened. There's a lot of embarrassed guys out there, but if any of them were to step forward and to say that she defrauded him, you could end up looking at a court case. I just don't think,
because I know like it's all entertainment, and you know the podcast was very entertaining, but it's actually real people that were really hurt by it.
Yeah.
Like, so it is very serious.
Although when this part three came out, I was like, why are these GAA lads still talking to girls they've never met?
I know.
Come on. Like after the two episodes, would you not be a little bit, just a little bit like, well, that guy obviously was.
But like whoever the catfish is was going to like extreme lengths to like make these fake lives. Like that Aoife Kennedy girl, like there was all these different friends attached to her. We're all the same person.
It's like another level of a Jersey puller, as they say.
But like obviously whoever it actually is obviously like seriously mentally unwell.
I know.
To continue doing that. Like, and remember,
after being out in such a public.
Remember MTV's Catfish, that show. So good.
I still watch that. I think it's
But
brilliant.
Like it was always like when it came down to it, the person like had serious problems.
Yeah,
like, and obviously wanted to escape their own life by pretending to be someone else.
Or the maddest ones are like the ones that's like, it's actually my cousin Sheila, and you're like, what?
Yeah.
Like, we had phone sex. Some of the things that goes on, like,
it's like, oh God.
I think there was a lot more.
It's very dark.
And also what was so mad about this is obviously someone came pretty famous from this, separate from the actual, somebody whose photos was used, got onto Traders UK.
Yeah.
Or Traders Ireland. Sorry,
yeah. So Faye Louise Brennan, I actually did an interview with her at the time when she
had
said.
You probably got her onto the Traders now. yourself.
You're welcome, Faye.
Because we found her pretty much, didn't we?
I just spotted her on, was it TikTok or Instagram or something like that. Anyway, I did an interview with her at the time, and she basically told me how she discovered that
her
the catfish had taken
Kennedy.
Her photos and blah, blah, blah.
Was it for the Aoife Kennedy character?
I think so.
Yeah, I think it was
She had also used someone else's photos as well. There was like a mixture of the two. But yeah, she ended up getting on the Traders because of that.
Like the catfish should make such a good like detective, because like the amount of time that was spent searching people's photos, getting their friends of friends of friends' photos, putting them all on.
I would also like, you know, how do you keep like a job up doing all that stuff? Like
you have the evenings though. You have the evenings. But it's so funny. I definitely think since the catfish stories have come out, dating has been definitely affected. I do think more guys are like, are you real? Is this a real profile? You're like, what?
But then obviously there is some that are like, ah, sure, like
well I think if I was ever talking to somebody online and you know two or three times they were like, my aunt died, I can't make it, I'd be like,
the amount of false deaths that were like,
false
you
deaths
know?
Or illnesses, COVID,
but like I'm such a like, you know,
paranoid
person. Yeah. If someone cancelled on me once, I'd be like, right,
done for life. Me too. I would be very like, not even suspicious.
I'd be like,
just
they're
like
lying.
How dare you? Good luck. I've said this to you before though. Anyone I've gone on a date with who's cancelled the first time has never gone well. So that's one of my rules. If they cancel once, they're dead to me for life.
Yeah.
You know? Not that that's helped. Okay, on to the next one of the big areas of this year that we were covering so much was the Irish presidential campaign.
Yeah.
This like brought me in shame, but also such anger. Like as someone who believes in the role of the presidency, it bothered me so much that everybody had 7 years.
Yeah.
7 years to get their candidates together. Yeah. And we were thrown candidates in the last 3 and 4 weeks. Like we literally knew none of them well. Now, Catherine Connolly, fair enough, and Jim Gavin, and Heather, I suppose, the final three, we would have known of them, but I didn't know any of their plans, any of their thoughts, any of their beliefs until literally 3 weeks before the election. It was a joke.
It was a complete shit show, to be
and
honest.
And the long process of who was actually going to be.
Yeah.
Why were people standing
like
in front of
Joanna
public bodies?
Donnelly.
Someone
why,
also said that.
Why did you do that?
So obviously, John Donnelly, that was actually a good story for this year, though, that when she left Met Air and a lot of people felt really bad for her. And I think there was just such an outcry of support for her that someone went, you know what, you should run
for president. Yeah, she was like, Jesus, I will. And they were probably kind of half joking.
Kieran Cuddihy for his interview, because he basically got her to drop out, you know? Like, he really did. Because she did that interview and after she was like, I am ill prepared. She was like, goodbye. He was like, no, who'd you vote for? What was the referendum? She was like, I don't know. I don't remember.
He was like, well, are you left or right? And she was like, I'm kind of in the middle.
That was one of the biggest questions this year, is like, what did you vote for in a referendum? You want to know. You want to have a copybook in your back pocket now and know all your voting over the years. Like, there's so many questions like that. But initially, before we got to the final two, so many people were rumored to be in the running, from literally Conor McGregor to Bob Geldof, and then Bob Geldof's comments after has been like, I would have walked
back. He's like, I would have fucking walked
it. But I kind of in a way wish everyone was allowed to have done like an early debate, because I would love to have seen those people debate each other out and what actually would have happened.
I mean, it would have been wild. But like, remember the last presidential election, like the one before that, there was like 7 or 8
there was
candidates.
Like 25 and before that as well. So I don't know what happened. I think everybody dropped the ball. I know the political parties already always put someone forward, but there are multiple other people. We've normally had business people come forward. There's normally a Dragon's Den person in there, so that didn't happen this year. But I suppose one of the big
Nora Casey should go for it.
I'd vote for Nora. One of the big moments, so there's a few, but one of the big ones was Jim Gavin and the background video. Just pay it back. Like, I always say...
Well, he did pay it back eventually.
Yeah, but like, too late.
Yeah.
What I struggled with that situation was firstly that he kept saying, I don't recall.
Yeah.
Like, you have a huge team behind you. Someone can go back through your bank accounts.
Yeah.
I wish he'd just gone, do you know what? That's true. I was going through a really hard time. On air, live, write a check and be like, there you go. You know, I'm not a perfect person. No one is perfect, but I own my shit and I should have done better.
Yeah.
And I will do better as your president. I think people would have been like,
fair enough.
People love like a kind of fallen hero that like recovers and gets back up again.
And that's the thing, like everyone has some sort of skeleton in their closet. Like no one is perfect.
It wasn't even that much money. Yeah. Like it is a lot of money to some of, but what I mean is in the scale of the stuff that like Trump has done, it was 3,300 quid.
Yeah.
But it was really frustrating to watch it. And I think that's why a lot of people were kind of pissed off at Fianna Fáil and at Micheál Martin, because it was like he was not prepared. Because someone who was prepared in that question would have gone, I did do that.
Yeah.
It's not my character. And I
but
shouldn't
how
have done
did
it.
No one like, because he had
what
all,
makes me laugh too,
like,
is that
all
was the
these
guy
advisors.
In the Sunday World. He obviously knew. He was like new. Apparently, like he had been talking about this story for years. It was kind of his go-to kind of pub story as well.
Yeah.
So like he waited, and then it came out in the Indo that it was like someone, and then it was like boom, it's me.
Yeah.
Like it was a good moment to be like. But
it was a good moment.
Jim must have known that he was now a journalist.
Yeah, well, like, yeah, because there's so many, like, they have so many advisors and everything. How did that not come up? Like, oh, if we're, like, thinking of things that might come up in an interview.
Especially when someone is a landlord, the fact that they would have had tenants. Was
and, like, especially in this day and age where landlords are literally, like, evil villains in this country.
It's not as
like,
if it was like, oh, God, he did actually email me and never go back. He went to his parents' house and was like, we need the money. Like, he tried to track him down
so many
occasions. And Jim Gavin was such a well-known person. So, like, he went to his place of work, he went to his house, he emailed him, he wrote to him, like still though, I would have come on and gone,
do you think he actually would have had a fighting chance if that hadn't happened? I think
if it hadn't happened, or if he had just dealt with it better, because I don't think a perfect person exists. And that's also what I find really annoying about the presidential campaign. I honestly feel like people are harder on our presidential candidates than on anyone like going for Taoiseach, because like the questions that were asked and like the expectation that they should have known better like 40 years ago for like something they said or something they did, it's just like, well, if you want a a president that is absolutely perfect and has never done any wrong. I don't know if that sort of person exists. Yeah. Or if they do, I don't think they're going to have political drive. Because yeah. you have to be a really, like, you have to have been through a lot and make a lot of mistakes, I think, to be a good politician, because you need to be able to own your stuff. And I just felt none of them owned anything. The whole campaign, even Catherine, even Heather, every time they were asked a question, it was like, well, you know. It's like, no, say what you did and what happened and go, let's move on. Now, I did feel bad for Catherine that so much got brought up about her barrister days, because obviously it was a long time ago. But I did understand the argument about her standing up in the dog, giving out about the vulture banks, but she'd also worked for them. She should have maybe disclosed that earlier. Mm-hmm. But again, come out and own that. There was no owning of anything this campaign.
Yeah.
I honestly didn't want to vote for either Heather or Catherine. Mm. I really didn't. I didn't want either
of them.
It's
a tough one as well, because obviously Michael D. Higgins was such a good president. Know. So like letting go of him,
even seen other candidates in the last 14 years that I've been like, okay, like I like what they stand for. They're really driven, they've experienced in this. There was nothing I could say for any of them this year. And that's not to say anything negative about Catherine. I think she's amazing and I'm glad that she's our president. But I wish we'd had more time. I wish there was a longer campaign. I wasn't like, yes, this is our person. I was just like, right, sure, look.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I felt.
Obviously, that showed in the voting figures, like over 200,000 people spoiled their vote.
Which is more people that even voted for Sinn Féin and the Independents in the last general election.
And, like, that is a huge amount of people. Like, I know, obviously, Ireland is, like, millions of people, but that is a huge part of the population.
But I actually think if Jim had just pulled up his socks, he actually would have won.
Pull up his GAA socks,
got the checkout, live TV. I think this is why people like Trump, because Trump owns stuff or else does these mad public things. If he doesn't own it, he just does something. I would have been like, giant check,
Trump,
meet your man, like, do a photo with him. Boom.
Trump lately, have you seen like all those videos? He keeps like, anytime a journalist asks him a question, he doesn't like, he's like, you know what? You're a terrible journalist.
You're terrible at what you do. Call someone, like, Miss Piggy.
Yeah.
He's like, where are you from? CNN. Of course you are. It's like the best publication in the world.
Oh my God.
No, but again, I'm not saying we're up there with Trump, but like sometimes I'm just like, we're giving these presidential candidates a bit of a rough time. But yeah, the spoiled ballots, there was way too much. That was really depressing. What was the name of the girl, the woman that was towards the end, that there was loads of funny memes about her going back in time to the 19...
Oh, God. The handbagger and the handbag.
Do you know Ferg? I want to say it's Maria.
Maria Steen. Yeah.
Her bag caught all the headlines this year. But I did like the Waterford Whisper story.
She looked like she was from like Mad Men or something.
Yeah. But there is an argument, and I do have to say this because it was brought up by a couple of people that didn't even get into the kind of run. There is an argument about how we choose who gets into the run. I do think more people should be allowed to go for it.
Yeah.
Like, it's so strict that you need multiple bodies or multiple TDs. I'm not saying I definitely wouldn't have wanted her to be present, but like, there is something about, maybe do we change it a little bit to how people actually go for presidency, because it is not the Taoiseach. Like, you are not running the country.
No, you don't really, like, you're obviously a representation of the country and like, you know, going and doing like engagements and stuff like
that.
You're
an ambassador, basically.
Yeah, you're like a mascot.
Yeah, basically.
Like, but you're not actually making decisions.
Honestly, like Mary Robinson and Mary McAleese, like, they used their roles in ways that they weren't supposed to, in a positive way. Like, but even when I was studying presidency in college for law, there's so many rules that like both of them broke on multiple occasions because they were like, no, I need to like stand up for this. Even like with the Good Friday Agreement, and like Mary McAleese as well, like took on roles and stuff outside of Ireland that you weren't allowed to do. Like loads of things that, which I like really love, and I really admired that from Michael D. Higgins. The last like 2 years, he said a lot about Gaza and like kind of put his thoughts in where he wasn't meant to, but like that's someone that you're proud to be your president. I do like that Catherine speaks Irish. I'm like, that's something that's going to be amazing on the world stage, to see her like speak Irish, because Michael D. did as well, whereas the rest of them, I don't think any of them spoke any Irish.
No. I think Heather said she was like learning.
Although I mainly just know on Will Kiedigam Giddy on a letter as much as I
but like the whole like the campaigns around, like I remember I saw a video of Heather like making an ice cream, like
the Keepy Uppies people genuinely would argue nearly won the campaign for Catherine, and Sinn Féin had to come out and deny that it was AI because people thought was so good. Honestly, but that's what's very reminding me of like the US elections where they're like kissing babies and you know. But it's the small things like that. Now poor Jim, he never got to go with the Keepy Uppies. Given his background, I'm sure he would have done better. But yeah, I just really hope that everyone involved has learned, and now they have 7 years to start again. Start training people today, lads.
Yeah.
Check their landlord.
I do think Catherine was the best candidate in the end.
She was in the end. But overall, would she be? I don't know. let's see what she's going to be like. I just would have liked to have had more options. That's all. It's not that I'm not happy that she's present. I think it's amazing that she's present. I just would have liked more options. And I was just disappointed by the lack of effort put in by all the parties. Because it was literally like, all right, well, here you go.
And the fact just all that seemed so last minute. From
the fact
all
that Jim's name
them.
Was still on the ballot.
I know. A lot of people actually, I think like 9% of people actually voted for him.
Oh, I think it was such a shock to him though when all that controversy came out that he wasn't able for it.
Yeah.
We'll move on to the Traitors Ireland. Obviously a massive show this year. I think there was a bit of worry. Was it going to be as good as the UK? When out, hands up, I did not watch the UK or Irish Traitors. I've never seen it. But I know Siobhan McSweeney obviously did so well. It was shot in Slane Castle. People were hooked.
Hooked. And yeah, like you said, there's always like a worry that a UK or like any other global format, when it comes to Ireland and Ireland tries to do it, that it will be shite.
Yeah, a cheap you know? Version and knockoff
yeah,
almost.
But
yeah.
No, it was really like the production value, amazing.
Siobhan was such a good casting.
Siobhan was such, yeah. And like she really, because obviously she's an actress as well, she really like gave it like the theatrical yeah. power behind it.
I still to this day do not know the context behind this, but I will watch.
You
want to watch
you
the UK
won't know
one.
Until you watch it. You
I'm
going to
watch the UK celeb one. I think yeah. that's the one I want to watch.
I watched that. It was so good.
Yeah, I think I want to watch that.
And obviously, Moira Higgins is going to be on the American version. That's coming out in January as well. I can't wait
but
for
like,
that.
Overall here, like big impact. 2.1 million viewers. Like that's so hard to get people watching television, like not a streaming service. And I think we have a second series coming up. One of our most read articles around that time was how to apply for the Traitors Ireland season 2. I feel like we might see one or two familiar faces next season.
Definitely, I think so. And I definitely think there will be a celebrity version. Like oh my God, there's definitely
there
the appetite out there for it.
Who would you want to see in a celebrity version?
Oh my God, so
it'd
many
be gas
people.
If you had like everyone from like I don't know like Bertie Ahern to
Louis
like,
Walsh Louis. Like belongs on the Traitors.
And who else, what girls would we want on there? So many people.
Lucy Kennedy would be so funny.
She'd be a good host though. Yeah, that too, she but would. Yeah, I suppose she would. Lucy'd be very good on Celebrity Traitors actually.
She would.
Dahi. Well, if Lucy's gone, Dahi's gone. Do you know what I mean? They're a pair. The two of them over there.
He'd be like, Lucy, are you a traitor?
Are you a traitor? She'd be like, I am Dahi. Jennifer Zamparelli.
Yeah.
She'd be really
so
good on
many
it.
Them. And I think they all would love to actually
they'd
do
actually
it.
Actually be gassed to have the two Johnnies both on it.
Yeah.
Because they could just be traitors together. I'm trying to think who else. I think we'd get a few.
Or the two Johnnies would have one a traitor and one a
faithful. That would be good. But yeah, I suppose obviously with the OG season, like the non-celebrity one, obviously people can pretend they're not parents and siblings and children.
Yeah,
and
like
that,
one of the big ones was Paddy and Andrew. They were obviously father and son.
Yeah.
Which was a really good twist. And Paddy is like, he was without a doubt the breakout star of the show.
The breakout Irish star like of the year.
Yeah,
I think,
pretty much.
Yeah, except for like actors.
He's
going to
be
on
Dancing
TV.
With the Stars now when it comes back in January.
He's probably going to get to the final. People love him.
And like it's mad. Like he's a retired prison officer. Like that, and that show has changed his life.
Yeah.
You know?
It's mad, isn't it?
It's wild.
I wonder what made him go for it. What did he say?
I think he was just like, give it a go. Like.
Give it a go. Like. I couldn't think of anything worse in the world than being on a reality TV show. I've said this to Kendra so many times because I
would
just. Would
you not go
so
on
badly.
It?
No. I think I
would
really
love
badly.
To go on the Traitors. Oh
really?
My God.
Well, I haven't seen
Sign
it. Maybe
up.
I'll watch it and I'm like.
You need to just watch it because you kind of don't really get it until you watch it. Like, even if someone tries to explain the rules to you, you're like, excuse
like,
me
you're
like you're given a shield blah blah you're like are excuse we playing me? Dungeons and Dragons like
no I'll have a look maybe it'll be the only one that I would do. I suppose do you get to know their personalities well, their actual personalities?
Yeah no you do yeah.
I'm like no
the only thing I would say is the prize fund is a bit shite.
That's the problem
as
with Irish
like,
shows. I remember when Who Wants to Be a Millionaire came years ago. Gay Byrne did it. I think like instead of the first one,
no,
being
they're
like
Who Wants 10 euros?
Yeah, it was literally like the first question. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire is like what color is like the color of the sky? And I'm like, but in Ireland, it'd be like in 1942. Which day did that? Like you couldn't even get to like 1,000 euro. Like no one ever won that much money. It was so hard.
But yeah, like because obviously you have to like they have to like win loads of these like tasks or whatever throughout. The series in order to win the prize
although they
money.
Won around 43 grand between three people right
yeah but that's like not
so like 11
a lot.
Grand each
but it's
I
not
take it, like,
it's not like life-changing money though.
But I also have this argument about Love Island. It's gone way too much about the show. I think if you were like there's 500 grand to win people
like,
would actually
right.
fuck each other over. You would get people that are in it for the game whereas now everyone's like they just want the boohoo deal. You know
it's not like they need
the
to
same.
Make it like life-changing money.
I think it would really change things and also it would really show who's genuine and who's not really quickly. Because at the end, it'd be like, do you want to share the 500K?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We'll move on then to Diddy's sex trafficking trial. I actually just watched the documentary on Netflix. Did you see it?
Even though my
arch nemesis 50 Cent made it.
I know. I was kind of half watching it, to be honest, but it's so interesting how they got that footage of him from right before he went to jail.
Made it himself.
So apparently, that like how they got the footage, it was this like freelance guy that like happened to get the footage and just gave it to them. Then.
Well, like Diddy hired him because he was like, I want to do a trial. And the clips are so
bad.
We're gonna ruin her. You tell her this. No, it was an interesting documentary. The first two episodes were very. I didn't really get into them because they were all about like how he came up. I was like, I think the last two were good.
Yeah.
So obviously that was such an intense trial. I think the big takeaway from that trial and the thing I'll always remember is that video of Cassie being dragged through the hotel hallway. Yeah. And obviously they show that quite a good bit in the documentary.
I definitely recommend watching the documentary.
No, it is good.
Because especially when court cases and stuff are being reported in the news, like it is kind of hard to, because there's a lot of legal jargon and stuff. And like, you know, some people like, might not understand it.
Yeah.
But there's a lot more, because obviously that case was only to do with like a certain aspect of
it. Well, this is the issue with the trial. My issue with it is that basically what the case accused him of was sex trafficking, racketeering, transportation for prostitution. So there was like coercion, forced labor, drugs, and obstruction of justice. But I suppose the main thing that everyone could very clearly see he was guilty of was domestic abuse. And that was never added as a charge, which is really upsetting, I'm sure, for Cassie.
And that's kind of what the documentary goes into a lot, is that he has such a long history of abuse. Like even before he was famous,
I know.
Like he kind of was abusive.
Even like
to women
the shootings
the
that went on.
Yeah.
The kind of character witnesses that talk about how they'd be standing there and he'd just be beating like his girlfriend in the bathroom and then they come outside. But a lot of them, I suppose they are very honest in it though. They like stuck around. They're like, I kind of saw it, but I was like, it's Diddy. It's just the way he is. But yeah, no, I thought that was interesting. But he did end up getting charged. 4 years and 2 months, bail is denied. Has some of that been already served? So I think he's like 3 years maybe.
Yeah, technically, I think he actually got like, is it 8 years?
But isn't he like loving life in prison and there's like images of him like out in the yard and like having a great time?
He's like basically saying that he's found God. And
oh, of course he has.
Don't they all say that?
They all find God. But
he also said he got sober and all this kind of stuff. But
it was sad watching kind of what went on. Even like the fact that like I didn't know Cassie was like his side chick when he was still married to Kim Porter, who obviously then died. Like it's so sad.
That whole thing like,
was weird. And she died.
Because she died from like pneumonia or something, which is random.
No, I thought that was interesting. But it was good to see that he actually got a sentence. This was the year of like actual sentences being handed down.
Even
for
though
a change.
It was kind of like a piss poor sentence, to be honest.
No, it was. I'm sure there'll be more charges brought against him though.
Yeah, I think like what people need to remember is like the case like didn't actually involve a lot of the things that are
that he's actually doing.
Of. Yeah.
I would say that he's gonna have a whole comeback tour now and like I'm redeemed.
It is
tour.
So interesting, like the downfall of him in general though, because he was always like he was at all of the parties, everyone was at his parties.
The downfall of all the major men in the industry is really happening since Harvey Weinstein's downfall, which is I'm here first, you know, like I'm enjoying it because there are so many bad things that happen over the years, and obviously you'd hope that seeing people's downfall like this would prevent maybe current people that are like even thinking of acting that way. But you couldn't get away with stuff like that now.
No.
Also, there's phones everywhere now. So if someone got like a slap in the face, it wouldn't be like, oh, say nothing. It'd be like, there's 12 cameras.
Yeah, because it kind of like, it all kind of started with Cassie filing that suit against him. And even though it went away literally the next day.
Yeah, I know.
But then it was that the FBI had like raided his house then.
Yeah.
And it all kind of like stemmed from there. And then remember the whole revelation of the bottles of baby oil and
I'd say the execs and baby oil are just like, and Johnson's they're like, why? I only watched the final episode the other day and they just all these like evidence bags and was all just Johnson's baby oil. Like, what was the obsession with
the baby oil? It's gross,
but no, it's definitely worth a watch. Another case that has not happened but I'm sick to death of hearing about is Blake Lively versus Justin Baldoni. Oh, it's just never ending.
It just never ends.
And it's not that I don't feel sorry for people involved. It's just, I feel like it's wasting so much like money and time. Obviously, the allegations from Blake, the initial piece, which happened right before the new year last year. I don't even think we covered it in the podcast, did we? Because it was so towards the end of the year. Maybe we did.
No, it actually had happened when we were like off for Christmas.
When we were off for Christmas, yeah. Okay. So obviously Blake filed not a lawsuit, but a complaint, a public complaint that the New York Times was then able to use to write a huge piece.
Yeah.
And it, what was the headline? It was something like, we're going to destroy her reputation or whatever.
Yeah. It was basically this huge expose about...
And basically the background was that Blake felt that Justin didn't like her, that she ended up being kind of... taken down, inverted commas, by his publicity and his PR team because they weren't getting on set. Because remember at the time, right before Christmas, there was loads of old interviews coming up of Blake being really rude to journalists and being rude on red carpets. And her whole case is that that was all planned content and footage and that they paid people to like put this content on the internet. Now, I genuinely don't believe that to its fullest because some people genuinely just don't like her.
That
is just a fact of
life. But like she also accused him of like, wasn't it sexual harassment as well? Because she was like breastfeeding and he would come into her trailer.
And then obviously the next day
she said he would write in like kiss scenes when she didn't want
them. But this is why the whole thing's so annoying. She'd be like, he invaded my privacy. And then he would release a text being like, hey, I'm popping in. She'd be like, no worries, I'm breastfeeding, pop on in.
Yeah.
Or she'd be like, he improvised this kiss. It was so unprofessional. And then he's like, here's footage of you improvising a kiss. Mm. So that's why it's head-wrecking. It's just like, well, the two of you just sorted out yourselves, which is what has happened in the latest case in the terms of being in front of the judge. He's said to them, just try and mediate this. And they're both like, no, we want to go to court. But he was trying to sue for $400 million.
Mm-hmm.
And that obviously now has gone away. That case is gone. But he's still defending the case to her, which is for what, $150 million?
But didn't she countersue then?
No, her first suit. Oh, yeah, sorry. $400 million and there's $150
million. They basically were suing each other.
Oh, like,
there was like a countersuit for $400 million. Basically. Oh no, actually, wasn't it that Blake released the complaint happened and then she actually filed the suit?
Yeah, and then he filed
against
the New York Times for $400 million. And her.
Yeah.
Like, and then obviously Colleen Hoover has come out since the writer of it ends with us. It never ends.
And
she wished she'd never been attached to it.
It is sad because the books are actually brilliant. I was a really big fan of the books beforehand. The movie is like not good.
No, so I didn't love the movie.
I didn't love it. And it also just means that there's definitely not going to be a second one anyway.
But it's brought up a lot of questions around, which I do find valid, which is how much can you trust people on the internet?
Yeah.
You know, like saying, I'm not saying that Justin didn't do any of it, but I just know journalists that have met Blake and she's been rude to them. So like, I know that that's true, but obviously even with Meghan and Harry, there's lots of like evidence that there's all these bots kind of being planted where they're like, she's a bitch, or I met her and she was horrible. And like, it's not true. Mm-hmm. So I think it's opened the door to seeing what like negative PR is. And it is real. It does exist.
Mm-hmm.
However, some people also don't like you.
Yeah.
That does happen too, unfortunately. And I think it's actually made journalists and celebrities have a better relationship, because I remember around that time old interviews even came out with like Anne Hathaway, just how rude celebrities can be to journalists sometimes in interviews when like that journalist has like traveled 10 hours to get there. And obviously there are some people that write negative stories, but most journalists are normal, nice people.
They're just doing their job. Like,
and I said this to you before, I met Blake at the Cannes Film Festival and I did not like her, and I could tell she really didn't like the press at all. She made comments about the press at the thing I was at, which was a press conference. She kind of gave out about the press at that. So I've always felt she's not a fan.
Yeah, like I think Blake and Ryan, it's kind of been interesting because Blake and her husband Ryan Reynolds, I kind of think that they thought they were untouchable.
Yeah, me too.
And now they're a bit like, shit.
Yeah.
You know?
And you know that even like we might be called into court now, because you know some of the people that spoke about the case on YouTube and everything got subpoenas for court from Blake's team. Yeah. Fully. Perez Hilton was given a subpoena. There was a few like random YouTubers had like 2,000, because they were like, oh, Justin paid you to write that. And she was like, this is just how I feel, I just don't like you. So a lot of those subpoenas end up being dropped in the end and they weren't called in for a witness. But
do you think it'll actually go to trial, like in the end? Because I think the trial date is set for like next May or something.
I think at this point it will.
They have to kind of follow
through. Like, Blake and Ryan have money falling out of their arse, so they're grand. I think the only thing would be maybe if Justin's team is like, you're going to lose.
And like a big part of Blake's case now is she's basically arguing that all of like the way her reputation was damaged, like affected the earnings of her Blake Brown beauty but like one of the
things that were discussed at the launch, around the launch of this movie, and I actually had talked to Women's Aid about it because I couldn't understand it, is that she had her alcohol brand at the start of all the parties and she had the Blake Brown stands at a domestic abuse movie premiere. It didn't make sense.
Bizarre.
That is genuine criticism.
Yeah.
Justin didn't pay me to have that opinion. Like, yeah. I think that was wrong.
Yeah.
And she also never spoke about that angle. Now, obviously, now later on, she's saying she was told not to, but that makes no sense.
But Justin did, though.
Yeah. That's what angered me, and a lot of people were pissed off at her because of that. So I think she needs to also accept that maybe there was negative PR paid for it, but also people had genuine reasons. And I think you're right. I think they both felt, but sure, everybody loves us.
Yeah.
We're
I think they were they felt like they were untouchable.
But I think this is going to turn into the Johnny and Amber sort of case where it's just going to be really polarizing. I'll watch it. Like, the popcorn will be out, but I'm also sick to death of the two of them.
But it's so... because
more
like,
important things
like,
to be spending
the
money on.
Even going back to the Diddy thing, like, you know the way in the documentary they talk about how there was all these bloggers and stuff that they would
negative PR is real. It is definitely real. And you can see in the messages between him and his PR company, he is telling them to do that.
Yeah.
It's not that I don't think it happened, but I just think some of it was genuine because they were journalists.
Yeah.
They were resharing old interviews. Mm. They weren't paid by Justin Baldoni's team. Like, they genuinely didn't like her. And I think a lot of the stuff about the premieres, again, was like genuine criticism. Mm-hmm. But of course, there was a few little planted stories. You could kind of see it because it was like Blake was difficult on set. Like little stories like that, I was like, that was probably the PR team. And it is scary to think that, I mean, but you and me know this, working in the media, you can literally ruin someone's reputation from the media.
Yeah.
As in, if you wrote enough negative stories about someone for enough times, you will start to dislike somebody. Mm-hmm. And it's important that that is obviously regulated. So I understand it, but I just don't think it's all that. I do think she's difficult in interviews. I think even looking through all the messages between them and the emails, she seems like she was difficult on that.
And
she
like,
didn't, she wanted to see all the dailies. Like, she started cutting, like Ryan started coming to set, Ryan rewrote a scene. Like, that would be frustrating. I'm not saying that he didn't do all the things she accused him of, but
and
I think
all
they're
the stuff
both
bringing Taylor Swift into it as well.
Taylor
and then she was like, I don't want to get involved.
I want to know why. Why did she cut ties? If Blake was completely in the right, would Taylor not be like, female power, I stand with her, especially after all the Scooter Braun stuff?
So like, one of the things that I saw was that Ryan and Justin had some sort of confrontation like in their apartment or something when Taylor and Hugh Jackman were there at the time or something.
I can imagine Hugh being like, Ryan, don't.
Yeah, it's just, it's the whole thing
was
his
new
wild.
Girlfriend there as well. Oh, look at the drama that's went on. I'd say that Taylor just didn't want to be involved, but I feel like if I don't know, they obviously weren't on good terms. Why would you walk away from someone that was going through something that terrible? Like, obviously there's more to it.
Yeah.
I just think they both are guilty of something each.
Yeah,
I think Justin, maybe it was an unsafe environment. Like, maybe it was really difficult, but was that after things got difficult between them? And also I feel that Blake needs to accept that some people just don't like her.
That's the thing. Like, there's no smoke without fire. Like, you know, stories don't come from nowhere.
No.
Like, usually there is some sort of truth to a part of
especially with stories that are in the news, like there's normally sources involved, but then again, like you said, like some of it can be planted. You could have someone say, oh, like from Justin's team being like, she was really difficult on set, and she actually wasn't. But that comes down to, I think, journalists policing themselves a little bit better, and maybe this case has opened that for them where they're a bit like, we need to double check and ask everybody.
But yeah, it was definitely a story that ruled the headlines.
I'm sick of
because
it.
Like you said, that initial defamation or that initial complaint came out literally this time last year. So it's been a year and it's still like just them slinging mud at each other.
And the judge being like, we just cop on, school children.
Yeah.
The next one of my favorite scandals of the year, the Coldplay Kiss Cam affair.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
I mean,
if you're going to have an affair with your coworker at a public concert, maybe unwrap the arms, you know? That was such a good one. So obviously at most of the Coldplay gigs, and actually going to the Coldplay's concert last summer was like the highlight
so
of my
good.
Whole life.
Yeah.
Literally one of the best
nights of my
life. Was
that this year
or
last year?
I think it was this summer. No?
I can't remember.
My hair was short. Was that this summer? No, I'm pretty sure it was this summer.
No, I think it was last year.
No.
I think it
but
was.
But this is the end of their tour. Oh no, this is in July in Boston.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, that was one of the best nights of my life. But anyway, they did that there. It's a part of the tour. Mm-hmm. You can see it all over TikTok where they do these kind of videos where they go into the audience. So there's a cameraman watching to be like, who's the most loved up couple? Who was a really good sign? Went to this couple that were hugging. And as soon as they came on the big screen, they both just jolted, ducked and straight. And he actually said, Chris Martin was, those two are either having an affair or they're camera shy.
Yeah.
And my God, did the internet do its job and figure out who those people were. Astronomer. Now, probably, I'm actually so surprised it didn't come up as the top Google searches of the year. Has to be one of the top 100 because that company got so much publicity. He was the CEO, she was the head of HR. The accusation was that they were having an affair. Statements were coming out. You know what really made me laugh though, were just the memes. Like you know, there was like that video going around being like, what to do if you get a camera on you. It's like, pretend you're wrestling, and they're like, they're wrestling each other, pretend you're giving
I want to know who the cameraman was. Like, surely he feels like a legend.
But like, obviously the effects and the consequences. And the thing is, they were in Boston for like a work conference or something. So they were away for that. But Jesus, that is the like definition of being caught rapid.
Yeah. And they both resigned over.
Both resigned, yeah. The drama of that. Like, honestly, so imagine being one of the people that worked under them though, and seeing the clip, you'd be like, John. And the head of HR. Like,
but there was other employees there, wasn't there?
Senior though.
Yeah.
So imagine being one of the like normal employees and being like, that's my boss. But yeah, Coldplay Gate, that's what that was dubbed. And yeah, like, I actually loved though that it was a viral sensation. I know obviously it was not funny for the people involved, but in a way it's kind of just proving that you can't hide.
No,
do you know what I mean? Like, everything is so public now. If you're going to have an affair, have it in a hotel room, like a normal, like a normal cheaters, okay? Not out
you can't
open.
Hide at a concert.
But also shows that even mistresses love a bit of Coldplay. They obviously bonded over like Yellow. They're like singing it together. Like, I'd love to just.
They're having a great time until they were not.
It'd be great if they just like ended up together, though. You know, it's kind of sad that all the families are broken.
Well, who knows? They could be secretly together.
Might see them
together
at another gig, the next Kiss Cam. Another story this year that is more recent, but just has taken the world by storm, is the Lily Allen and David Harbour split, mainly because her album West End Girl. Now, I still haven't listened to it in full.
Have you not? It's so good.
Because every time I listen to one of the songs, I have to keep replaying it. So I haven't got through the whole album yet. Because like the lyrics really are so, like, she's just such an amazing lyricist anyway. Yeah. But in this one, you're literally like pausing, being like, sorry?
Yeah.
Pussy falls? What? Butt plugs
so
in
wild.
The bedroom? What?
It's so wild. And remember, like, for months before that they actually like confirmed they had split, there were so many rumors.
And there was an
about
article
them.
That she was on Riot, remember?
Yeah.
And then obviously in the album she talks about being on the app.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it was such a shock that she was so honest though, because obviously he's the father. Is he the father of her kids?
No.
No. Okay. So stepdad. Yeah. But it's just the way she details every single second of exactly what happened. So obviously she creates these characters in the album that basically decide to have an open relationship because she gets a show, which she happened to actually get in real life too, the West End show. It's kind of sad listening to it because she's like, okay, I want to keep you happy.
Yeah.
So
she basically,
if a man ever was like, you're away for too long, you need to have sex with someone else, I'd be like, goodbye.
She made the album in like 10 days or something, like right after they split. So it's obviously like a lot of raw emotion where she's literally like, fuck you.
But now there's talks of it becoming an actual Broadway musical and everything. Like,
yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
Would
did
love.
You see her on SNL?
Yeah,
it was really
brilliant.
Good.
She looks amazing.
And Dakota Johnson obviously came out as Madeline.
Yeah.
Which was really funny,
Who the fuck
I think.
Is Madeline?
Who the
I
fuck
love
is Madeline?
I love that. But it's mad that like clearly she was okay in a way with it being open, but then when she thought he was in love with someone, she was like, what the fuck? And the fact that she like talks to her in the phone and details it all, your heart
in a
just
weird way
into
though, it actually has been a really good comeback for her. As in like not that she had gone anywhere, she wasn't, but as in a musical comeback, as in
it's
she,
like her first album,
and she announced a tour and like the tour
sold out
like really quickly.
No, I do, and it's kind of a hard one because I know this discussion happened this year with Taylor, right? Because her album just did not do as well as other albums.
Kind of a flop.
Although I do love Life of a Showgirl, I do love that song. But obviously there was a lot of talk and I felt really bad for her because some of the criticism was like she kind of needs to be heartbroken to be a good singer-songwriter.
I know.
Because some of the songs were a bit meh. No, I think it's because Jack Flintoff isn't a part of the album as well.
Yeah.
I think he's an amazing producer.
But also like
in
all the songs about Travis and like that one song
dick.
Basically about his penis.
Yeah,
like that's
like, knock
you
on
know?
Wood. Did
and
you need
like,
to know?
You know, there's something really icky about someone kind of bragging about how in love they are. Like, shut the God. Yeah. Like, you know?
I think it's because she's been so heartbroken for so long. But when she was with Joe Alwyn, I felt she was a lot more calmer about it. She was like in love, but she wasn't like, his dick is huge.
Like, yeah. Like that.
It's her dance party and having sex all the time.
His dick is huge.
That's literally what the whole album is about. It's like, so I'm having sex and his dick is
like
massive.
The lyrics even are real like immature or something. I don't know.
Definitely think Jack not being part of the album is effective. But yeah, some of the lyrics I'm like, I could have written that. Yeah. But you ever see TikTokers where they're like, what Taylor Swift sounds like to me? And it's like, your cardigan's on the floor. Yeah. I just want more. Yeah, I'm in love. It's just like, that is what she sounds like to me.
No, it is.
Because when I was on RT the other day, they were like, are you a Taylor Swift fan? I was like, no. Like, I like some of her songs, but I'm not a Swiftie. And I also think she's leaned too much into this Easter egg thing. Now everything is a fucking Easter egg.
I know. So I was actually having this conversation with someone the other day. Were you there?
Was it me?
I don't know. But I was kind of like, oh, like, not everything has to be an Easter egg.
No.
Like, everything's like, she like releases like a... like a post on Instagram. It's like, well, actually, secretly, there's like a secret message hidden
in
there.
Is that where Style was in that album?
I think so. And or maybe like, that was 1989.
And people were like, oh my God, was that about Harry Styles? Whereas now she's just like, H-A-R-R-Y-S-T-L. I'm not saying what it's about. It's like, you spelled the name. Because the way the album even has little spellings in it.
Yeah.
Was it this one that has the song about Kim, or was that the last one that spelled out
That was
out
the
like
last
Kim?
One.
So yeah. But look, I think she is a mastermind in terms of this industry though. Like,
I did go to the
Eras
tour. It was amazing.
No, I enjoy her music, but I'm not like obsessed with her.
Yeah.
Now, obviously her engagement post to Travis got one of the most likes of the year on Instagram. Mm-hmm. It got over 40 million.
That's going to be a huge celebrity.
But what I also
year.
Loved as well was his dad being like, oh, she was getting a bit etchy there towards the end. I'd say she's like, shut the fuck up. But no, it is a nice love story. And I think for her, she wants it to be this big. It's like the Fate of Ophelia lyrics.
Yeah.
She wants it to be like, I was waiting for ages. Here's my man. He's obsessed with me. I'm amazing. See ya.
Yeah.
But I do think it has affected the music, which I hate to say, because like you want her to be happy, but it is like the Lily thing. When someone is in the darkest dark of heartbreak, the music they create is just amazing. And even with Sabrina, like Sabrina Carpenter's initial album, obviously she only started seeing Barry towards the end of it, so most of that like Espresso and all that, that was all before she met Barry. But then post Barry, you can tell some of the songs are about them breaking up, and it's just good. You're just in it, you're like and she's doing the Easter egg thing, but not as much. You're just like, is that about Barry? Is it not? I don't care too much. I'm not like, I need to check every single thing she's ever written. Some of the splits and some of the get togethers this year, Nicole Kidman and Keith Urban.
I know, very surprising.
For divorce late September.
Surprising. Yeah.
I mean, they were also one of those couples that remind me of Travis and Taylor, and also Travis and Courtney, where it's just like, shut up about your romance. I don't care. But the two of them were always like, life is so great. We're so in love. We're so lucky to find each other. But what I found really interesting the last like 2 years, she has worked more than any of the actors in Hollywood.
I was
so
just going to say that she has been the busiest woman.
Whenever you see a white woman with a cardigan has sipping a wine near the sea, it's been her in a murder movie of some sort.
What was that series she was in? It was really good.
Marriage. Was the year before. Oh, no. This year's one.
Yeah.
Oh God, what was it called? There's too
on
many
Netflix.
Of them. Yeah, there's too many of them.
Oh, I can't remember.
Yeah,
that was
really
good
though. But they're all the same. You could interchange the same titles. But also there had been interviews in the last year where people had like asked Keith about Nicole, and he was like storming out or like not answering the question and being a bit like annoyed, almost like a bit like, I'm more important than Nicole.
I think she's too cool for him.
Yeah, he's a bit of a sap.
Yeah,
he's a sap to me. But you see, I think that women that have been through like very narcissistic relationships or really difficult ones, when they come across a guy that's so sweet like that. But keep in mind, remember when they got married, they had this amazing beautiful wedding, and literally only like a few weeks later that he came out and said that he was an alcoholic, and that Nicole
was literally
2 weeks later and that she had basically like saved him from himself, and
Taylor's all
he was
the time
now, Taylor's all the time, and that he was now like on this journey with her, and if it wasn't for her, and I always think back to that, I'm like, she's probably had a really tough time in that marriage, and now he's like, see ya.
Yeah, basically. And like changing lyrics
changing
about
lyrics
her and everything.
Ugh. But no, that's what happened. I remember when that story came out and he released a statement being like, I'm an alcoholic, and da-da. Because he was still drinking at the wedding, but a couple of weeks later, this massive intervention had happened that Nicole had designed. I'm like, sick of all these women having to save these fucking loser ass lads. Do you know what I mean?
Loser.
And he's such a sap. So if you're listening, Irvin.
Yeah, you're a sap.
Don't like you. You and Justin Timberlake, you're my two least favorite people.
But you called him Irvin.
Get out of it. One of the couples that surprised everyone that got together this year year, Jojo Siwa and Chris Hughes.
I know.
One of our most written about couples of the year. No, obviously.
That was not on my bingo card. Do you know?
And Celebrity Big Brother just was actually quite big this year because of it too. So obviously Jojo was in a relationship with Kat Ebbs at the time. Mm-hmm. And she's identified as a lesbian. Jojo has for such a long time. So everyone kind of thought their relationship was kind of weird, that they were just kind of obsessed with each other a little bit, like Jojo and Chris. But sure, soon after, there they were frolicking around.
They basically confirmed it. So like Jojo was with Kat going into the show, and then while they were on the show, like everyone noticed that her and Chris were very close, and we're like, this is weird. Literally at the wrap party, then Jojo broke up with Kat. And
after her flying all the way there. She's done many TikToks about this, Kat has, I've seen it.
And then like only a few weeks later, then Jojo and Chris basically confirmed that they were together. They are actually quite cute.
They are cute. They are cute. I just hope it lasts. I feel sometimes when you come out of a show like that, it's like Love Island, where you're in your own bubble. And she obviously has the most amazing life. Like Chris is having a good time over there.
There's something that I do not trust about him. Chris.
Is it that, is that or that meme of him being like awake at night? Isn't that Chris?
Where he's like,
he's like thinking of Jojo in the future.
But like Olivia Atwood has said a lot of things about him as well, like let's not forget they were together for like
he's
a
living
good
a
while.
Great life right now.
I don't know, I kind of think he's a bit of a clout chaser.
I wouldn't be surprised,
you know, like he's
although
over in LA
now.
I don't know, there's something I don't trust him,
but it gave us a lot of clicks, so I was happy about that. Another story that really took over the site this year was the Beckham family feud.
Oh my god,
another exhausting one that's just like, what is going
on? And this is like another example of like people like releasing stories about each other. Like every single like Daily Mail article, it was like a source said, and it was either like, you could tell it was
Nicole
either the
Victoria.
Beckham side or else you know.
But it's interesting because obviously there had been tensions around Nicola and Victoria for years.
Since the wedding.
She was meant to wear a Victoria Beckham dress and she didn't. And that kind of was a huge story at the time. But straight after they were like, no, it's all good. I think the dress didn't arrive on time. They kind of had all these excuses for why she didn't wear it. So what actually happened this year that kicked it all off to another level?
So,
David's birthday, right?
So basically Brooklyn and Nicola weren't at David's birthday.
Brooklyn was about 12.
And it was his 50th birthday, wasn't it? So it was like a big birthday.
And he did
birthday.
Like five celebrations.
Yeah, and they weren't there. They actually went to the Met Gala instead. And then I think it was a few days after or something anyway, but they weren't there. And that's kind of when it all kicked off. And then that's when it was like sources say they weren't speaking.
So what are the sources saying? Like, what is going on? Why are
they
not speaking?
A lot of it is that it does stem back to the wedding.
Yeah.
And that
the amount
it's
of mother-in-laws that lose relationships because of the
weddings. It's basically the Beckhams and the Peltzes. It's kind of like whose dick is bigger.
Yeah.
Like they're Travis's. They're both, yeah, according to Taylor. We get it, Taylor. Good for you. But they're both like huge, really powerful families.
Yeah.
And I think it's like, you know, there's a power balance there.
Yeah.
And even the fact that, like, remember when they got married, it was on the Peltzes' like massive estate in Florida.
She's like comes from a billionaire family.
Yeah. And like, I don't know. It all like
it's obviously Victoria and Nicola though specifically, but it's sad though because he's missing out on loads of things like with the rest of the kids. Like he obviously, it's obviously serious.
Yeah, and it is very surprising as well because the Beckhams have always been like a real tight knit family.
And David got knighted this year, and he's nowhere to be seen.
Nowhere to be seen.
Be interesting to see what happens over Christmas because like I feel like they're close to Harper. Brooklyn and Nicola, I don't know, would she fly over to the US and have some?
I don't know
there?
I think Brooklyn is just so obsessed with Nicola, like the way they go on in Instagram, I'm like
this is the same Travis and Courtney, Travis and Taylor,
they're so like weirdly obsessed.
It is sad to see though. And then also, sorry, Brooklyn and Nicola had their vow renewal. Why would you need a vow renewal this early on? I have questions.
And they're
about
both
that.
Like 12.
This is like when Hayley and Justin talk about their marriage being difficult. I'm like, you're married for 3 seconds, Lance. You're obviously going to end up breaking up. Also, the Blue Origin space flight, we can't end the podcast without talking about that. Now, I have mixed feelings over it. So it was an 11-minute flight out of space. Headed by Jeff Bezos, which was the first problem.
Yeah.
People don't like Jeff, the owner and creator of Amazon. Katy Perry, Lauren Sanchez, Jeff's now wife. That was another big story this year, their huge wedding in Venice. Mm. Gail King, Aisha Bow, Amanda Nguyen, and Kerri-Anne Flynn. But it kind of all became about Katy Perry being up there with her fucking daisy and coming down and kissing the ground.
Katy Perry has had like such a wild year.
But like her and Orlando split up right after that, and now she's with Tristan Tudor. She's like, Grant.
But like, the whole thing was very strange because like she was in the middle of her tour as well this year.
She was like all pop into space.
Her and Orlando Bloom broke up and then she went to space. And like, but like she had a bit of a weird year as well because I feel like she kind of, I don't know, it's especially to do with the Blue Origin space flight where people were kind of like, Katy Perry is like a bit odd. Like,
yeah, she did come across. She sang a song up in space in one of the worlds. Then she put a daisy towards the camera and then she kissed the ground when she came back.
I think her popularity definitely dwindled a little bit.
She kind of became the new Anne Hathaway of the industry. Where it's like people randomly don't like her.
Yeah.
They think she's odd.
And then she got with Justin Trudeau, so.
Which is kind of put her back in people's good books. He's a ride. Like, I mean, I get it.
Yeah.
But the only thing I've mixed feelings on, though, is I wonder would there have been this much hate about it if it was an all-male flight? There's something about it being all-female that rubs it the wrong way that people were so quickly to be like, this is a waste of money.
It all comes back to misogyny, really.
Basically. But also people do hate Jeff. Like, do you remember when Jeff was getting married in Venice? There was, like, protests all throughout Venice. And, like, the Kardashians were all there. Sydney Sweeney. Like, it was, like, the biggest event of the year. But the fact that Orlando was there too, wasn't he there? And so was Katie.
It was basically like the billionaire Olympics, though. Do you know what I mean?
Like, Katie didn't go, Orlando went.
Yeah.
But actually, I went to the hotel that they all stayed in when I was in Venice this summer, and it was stunning. So we chatted about Taylor and Travis. We've also talked about Sabrina. She is my musical icon of the year.
Same.
I absolutely loved her. I loved her Short and Sweet tour, but the second album, sorry, not her second album, but the second album of the last years wasn't out then, so it was a bit too short and sweet.
She is the reason why my Spotify Wrapped said my age was 17.
Oh my god. Mine said it was like 30. Most of my friends were like
17. I was like, wow.
No, her new songs are so, her, all of her stuff, and I watched so much of her tour on TikTok and she was just, it's such her year. She's obviously headlining Coachella next year. And you know what, again, it comes back to the same conversation though with Taylor, like I do think Heartbroken Gals do better. They just, their songs are better, the interest level is higher. It's literally how Cheryl Cole became as famous as she is because Ashley Cole cheated on her. Like, so for any Heartbroken Gals out there, you should be famous, you should be happy about this.
People love a good heartbreak story.
Before we end, we might do Love Island a tiny bit before we go. So obviously we had All Stars and we had The Summer. Which was your favorite between the two?
I think the summer one.
Summer one.
Yeah, the summer one was really, really good.
Tony because and Shakira and Yasmin being the three icons of the season.
I think All Stars the year before
was better. Yeah.
Because remember they had like Molly and Tom and
I feel like we're going to see this with Liam and Millie this year.
Yeah.
That has like Liam and Millie are both going to be put there on the show. Yeah. And they're going to be like, I didn't know. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if they staged their breakup though. I have questions over it.
Because
they had a really good podcast together. Now they're broken up. Now it's like, oh, is she going on? Is he going on?
And neither of them have spoken about their breakup at all. Like not one thing. Wow. So
they'll talk about Demi Adama. But yeah, Tony obviously was like such a breakout star in one Love Island this year. I didn't love her.
I did.
But I liked Shakira. I did like Shakira. I can't believe her and Harry are still together.
I know. I actually had a dream about them breaking up.
Did you?
Recently.
Well, excuse them.
I'm predicting.
Harrison was my least favorite. Oh, and it was so funny. We did the countdown show this year. Mitch was like, sure, Harrison's doing All Stars. This was like the day of the final. I was like, has Harrison told you this? He's like, And now him and Lauren have broken up. And now he's rumored to go on All Stars.
If he's not on All Stars in January, I will eat my hat. Like,
he'll go on All Stars and Lauren will wait for him and they will get back together.
Yeah.
You've heard it here first. But yeah, I think the final moment before we share our own highs and lows of the year is the Troy Parrott hat trick for Ireland.
Yeah.
We are now into football because everybody is. And we're going to the World Cup, baby.
Yeah.
That was such an amazing day though, wasn't it?
Such an amazing moment. And I didn't really know fully who he was.
Yeah, I'd heard him before, but I didn't know him that much now.
Yeah, because he plays Premier League over in the UK.
Premier League.
I'm like, what's Champions football? League? Well.
What's football?
But I would never really usually watch football matches like at all.
Yeah.
But my boyfriend was watching
it. Definitely watching it that day.
I was watching it that day. And I've never seen him go so mental over something. I was like,
Ireland,
oh my God.
I
really realized what a big moment it was until I saw his reaction. I was like, oh, this is
one of my big things, my big kind of thoughts of 2026 is that he is going to be a massive star, Troy, and his girlfriend as well.
Yeah.
They're going to become the new like it couple. Obviously it's going to be summer next year, isn't it, when we're fully going to do all the games, stuff like that. But
what's crazy is though, like, because the World Cup is happening in America,
yeah,
the ticket prices for those games,
I know,
are like, they're like $8,000.
I know, a couple of guys have been telling me they want to try to go to like some of the games. I'm like, are you a millionaire?
Yeah, where are you getting the money from? But that's just so unfair. Like, how can any, like, any average person go?
Yeah, they can't.
It's just going to be all rich people.
Yeah, they're going to have to watch it on TV. It's just of all the years for us to qualify the fact that it's in the US. If it was anywhere in Europe, we'd all be camping out there. Mm. We'll watch it.
Yeah. People would be remortgaging their homes.
Do you have a favorite story from the whole year then as we come to an end? This is our shortest one because our Christmas party is starting in 5 months.
Yeah. I actually, the Tattle Life case and the whole GA Catfish thing, they are big standouts for me.
Yeah, because they're my two favourite too.
They like went on for weeks and weeks of us covering it. But just
even the legal understanding of it, how interesting it is. Yeah, they were my two favourite as well.
And both Irish related stories as well.
And I also like that we're ending the year with Oscar rumours for Paul Mescal and Jesse Buckley. I think it's going to be a massive year for 2026. Mm-hmm. Me and Kendra heading back to the Oscars. This is actually one of the years I was like, Joe, maybe I won't go because I have a puppy now. And I was like, oh, he has to be left for a couple of days. But then Donald Gleeson got announced as being the star guest for the Oscar Wilde party. And I have a notoriously embarrassing relationship with Donald because every time I see him, I like can't speak. It's because about
he's
time.
The one person that makes Ali starstruck.
Like, I actually interviewed Tom Cruise, Steven Spielberg. No worries. Donald, I'm like,
you're like, hi, Donald.
The last time I spoke to me, literally was like, are you okay? He literally like,
I wonder what you're going to be like this time.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, Ali already said to me, she was like, you're going to have to interview him. Like, I can't speak to him.
No, you know what? Maybe I should interview him and get this back again.
Yeah, maybe you should.
Basically, it was actually the worst red carpet of my life. It was for Machina, what's that called?
Ex Machina.
And I was there. Goss was only a few months and I was interviewing
him. You're only a pup.
I was only a pup myself. I was interviewing him and the director. And the director came up first. And all the press was there. And I was so nervous to talk to Donald because about time I was just watching it all the time.
Yeah.
And the directors, I was interviewing him and I was like, so like, what made you want to work with Donald? Like, you know, is there something you'd seen him in? Blah, blah, blah. And he was like, well, I've worked with him before, but it's not your job to know that, is it? And I was like,
so he basically
was
owned
such
you.
A dickhead. Yeah. And I was like, oh God. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. And he was like, yeah. He was probably like, I'm on this flight to fucking Dublin to do the stupid thing and she doesn't even know me. So then Donald came up and I was already like shook and I was like, hi. And then I think, I want to say Brendan Gleeson, his dad was up for an Oscar that year.
Okay.
And so I think I was like, so how, like the mood in the house, like everyone, and he was like, what are you saying?
What?
I need to find the interview. We still have it on YouTube. So, and he was just like,
oh my God.
How was it
filmed?
Yes!
Oh my God, we need to find
so
this.
Bad.
We need to find it.
I had a videographer and everything with me. And he was just like, how everyone is. And I was like, ugh. And then he was like, are you all right? Like, that part's not in it. But anyways, that was fine.
Imagine you fainted or something.
But a couple of days later, I went to New York for Fashion Week and I was just walking around Central Park and like I was still reliving how embarrassing this was because he was like, that girl is not well. And I was just walking to Central Park and I just looked to the right and Donald Gleason was running in Central Park. He'd flown
like
to New York
jogging.
As well. Yeah, and he saw me and he definitely was like, what the fuck,
this girl is stalking
me. Absolute freak has flown to New York.
Oh,
and
my God.
I actually just froze again and said nothing and he just ran past me.
Donald.
So since then he actually lives near the office. So I've seen him in house.
She's still stalking
I've
you,
seen
Donald.
Him in house once or twice and I am literally like, I can't make eye contact with this man. So I feel like when I
he's
see him,
he's such a random person to like be starstruck.
It's just the movie.
It is a great movie.
It's my favorite movie of all time.
It's a great movie.
But I remember, do you remember that time? I don't think you were there. Yeah, when I went to the Oscars and I was on my own and it fell around Valentine's Day. Do you remember that year?
Was Donald there again?
No, what I was going to say is I interviewed Chris and Don. Do you remember I became friends with them? Because in the interview, I was like, what are your plans? Obviously, Valentine's Day. And they were like, and I was like, because I'm just sitting alone in my room drinking champagne. And he was like, that's so sad. And I was like, I know. And then afterwards, he was like, are you okay?
Like, no.
I was like, Donald's asked me this before. But then that year, he actually went to the Oscars with Cartoon Saloon and he invited me to their like after party and I got to meet with all of them. So like, he obviously felt so sorry.
Yeah, he's like, oh, this poor
so, like,
girl.
With Donald, I'd be like, Donald, I need to just tell you. Or else I'm just going to be like, bleh. I don't know. But I'm excited.
I think he'd find it funny.
But you know what? I've watched interviews with him this year because obviously he did. I'm obsessed with him. No, because he did The Paper on Amazon. And it's really good.
Wasn't he on Graham Norton recently?
I'm like, I have it all saved. I don't know. But I was watching videos and someone was like, what do people come up to you for the most? Because obviously he's been in Harry Potter or Star Wars. And he said it's about time. People still come up to him being like, that changed my life. Or like, me and my dad watched that before he died. Because obviously the story is so sad.
Yeah.
So I feel like if I bring it up,
Yeah.
And then be like, I met you in 2014 and I word bombed
What if we
face.
See him and he's like to the security he's guard, like, get that woman out.
I have she followed me to Central Park. I'll never forget him looking at me. He definitely
I don't think you
me.
Ever told me that you saw him literally days
I've
later.
I never lived
a day. She's blocked it out
that
of my
was memory. 11 years ago and I'm still the thoughts of seeing him next year is like giving me anxiety. Oh, but I feel like for funny. My sake I need to end the story on a
you
positive
need to,
note.
Yeah, you need to change the narrative.
Or maybe I'll wait for him to go into the party and talk to him inside. I could do that and be
and then follow him in.
And be like, total into the bathroom, into the Jacks. And be like, it's me, it's Ali. He's like, fucking leave me alone.
No, I have a restraining order against you.
Any, it's a personal highs or personal lows of 2025?
Like personally? Yeah, personally. I'm like, oh God. Oh my God. Well, I've just moved into a new house. Woo. That's a high.
First Christmas tree.
Yes, I got a really nice Christmas tree.
Woo. Love that.
Lows, God. I don't
You've
know.
Had a good year. I
yeah,
feel.
No,
it's been mainly
it
positive.
Has been a nice year.
Oh, maybe your driving test.
Oh yeah, I failed my driving test. Okay, I will pass it in the new
you
year.
Will. You will.
That was actually probably my biggest.
I think it was yeah. your biggest.
I really thought
but
I was going to pass, and I failed.
That's the worst part of your year. That's a good year. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. That's the worst thing.
Actually, that is a highlight for me though. Even though I failed my test, I did actually get driving, and I bought myself a car, Woo. Which was like I remember I wrote that in my like little manifestation thing at the start of the year. I was like, I will get driving. Aww. And I did, even though I didn't pass my
Was
test.
That in the master vision board master class I did with you guys?
Yeah.
Good.
I think it was.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that again in January.
Yeah.
My high is obviously getting my puppy. Angel.
Yeah.
I literally miss him so much.
Cute.
Even like, I wish he was here for the video.
I know.
Him. He's so cute.
He's just so cute.
Added to my life so much. I think about him 24/7.
He's such a little gift.
Isn't
he? I think you really needed him
he
as well.
He has like a soul. He has like a really
he
sweet. And he loves
He's your
so
soul dog.
Much. He's my soul dog.
Yeah.
And then low, there's too many to think of, to be honest. Let me try to
like,
one.
Do you have an hour, do you?
Can we start this again? I'm trying to think of one that's not too personal, that's relative.
They're probably all way too personal.
I'm trying to think something that I could say. What low did I have? I don't know. It's honestly too many. We'll leave it on the high.
The issues you've had with your house, maybe.
It's been, oh God, there's been so many issues with my house, and then nearly getting this is it's been a year.
It's been a year.
But positive vibes for next year, and I'm so excited for the Gossies and going back to the Oscars and having my moment with Donald.
The Gossies is definitely going to be the biggest one.
I'm so excited about this Gossies. It's going to be amazing, and hopefully I'm not back on here next year saying that my low was that I word vomited on Donald again. That would be great. Okay, thanks so much for listening.
Thanks, guys. Bye.